He went to Texas, right, and to be a part of the conference. And, you know, he was blessed by the conference and thoroughly enjoyed it. But some kind of bug got a hold of him. Amen. So he's not here today, but he will be back. Amen. So you all are going to have to kind of like listen to me. All right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But I'm not going to do you wrong. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit through me ain't going to do you no wrong. Amen. All right. So our thought for today, if you're writing, is faith for the journey. Oh, it takes faith. Faith for the journey. Amen. Life in and of itself, it's a journey. God in his infinite wisdom, his first plan, because it was, you know, violated by Adam, he still kept another, he alternate plan, not to abandon what he wanted for man, but he made some changes and some adjustments because of what Adam did, his transgression that he made by being disobedient to the will and the plan of God. God didn't just throw man out and say, forget it. I changed my mind. I don't want to do this man thing. He continued in his pursuit of us and his desire for his plan to be accomplished in our lives. And so we have to see our life as a journey. There's nothing really, the only consistent and solid thing in it is the love of God. Everything else, don't try to hold on to it. You understand what I'm saying? Know that you're moving every day from one place to the next. Don't ever get set in one place and say, this is where I'll be, because it's not true. Age shows us that. Yes? We can look at our babies and see that. Age shows us that. But you can look at your own life and see that. There is nothing consistent about this life except the love of God. That is the only thing. Amen? And the other thing that we want to pay attention to that can be and should be consistent in our lives is our faith in him. If we make that solid and let that be sure, then we can make the journey. Amen? Amen? So we're talking about faith for the journey. Let's look at Romans 1 and 16. Whatever life brings to us, it's going to take our faith in God to sustain us. It's going to take our faith in God to get us through it. It's going to take our faith in God to get us, you know, where he intends for us to be. Amen. So it's not just faith about believing God for this or believing God for that. It just takes faith altogether for this journey. Romans 1 and 16, it's a familiar passage of scripture to us. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, this is what the Amplified Version says. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation. For deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Do you see that? I want to read verse 17 also. Verse 17, we can read it out of the Amplified. It says, for in the gospel, which is the good news, which is the word of God, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. Amen. Isn't that something? As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and guess what? And shall live by faith. Amen. Any of you all are men who through faith are living and living by faith? Yes. We're going to live, and we're going to live by faith. Inside of, you know, this lesson, this is what I believe that the Holy Spirit want us to receive, is that we become more prepared for this adventure in our faith, not only corporately, but also personally. We want to be more prepared. Amen. I want to stir up your faith so you can have more of a relationship with Jesus and let your faith take this relationship with Jesus to another level. You know, we can know certain things about God. We can know certain things about the Word of God. We can also believe that we know something about the Bible. But one thing we have to realize, that inside of it, there are more and more levels to be reached. Amen. We don't ever want to think that I've mastered this thing called faith, or I've mastered this life. We'll be doing that until Jesus comes, or until we transition to the next life. Amen. We want to keep ourselves open as students, as Pastor Adam said, as students of the word, so that we can go in our relationship with Jesus, in our relationship with God, from one level to the next. Amen. So we're going to look at Acts 16 and 9. There is a foundation for this faith journey, and we want to make sure that the foundation is a solid one, because it's only in the solid foundations that as we build, that we can expect what we're building to stand. Amen. In Acts 16 and 9. Look at what Paul says. 16 and 9 and verse 10. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. You know, God will use different means to cause our foundation and our faith to be solid. Now, for Paul, it was because of a vision, or was because of this appearance that he had, that God wanted him to go to this certain place. Well, we just read Romans 1 and 16, where it says that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power, the ability of God unto salvation. Guess what? As a believer, I've got to let that be my foundation, that I know that the good news, the Bible, it is my solid foundation, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'll never be ashamed of it. Amen. Because I know it's the power of God unto my deliverance in any area. It is the power of God unto salvation to bring me out and to bring me through any situation. Amen. The gospel is the Bible, the good news. Amen. What God have prepared for me. You know, on Thursday nights, we're talking about the covenant. I have to be assured that I don't have any reason to be ashamed. No matter what comes or what goes, God has given me a solid foundation that I can stand on his word. I can believe what his word says, and I know it is the power of God to my deliverance in anything and in everything. Even in the moments that I don't understand what's going on, I have to rest in the good news, the word that's been preached to me, the word that I've read. I've got to know that it is the power of God to bring me out of this situation. Not only bring me out, but bring me through. Amen. To bring me through this situation. It is the power of God. Amen. Well, let's look at Philippians. Philippians 3 and 13. When you read the Bible, and well, we can't read it like that. That when we read about the accounts of different people's lives and the things that that happen in their lives, we can't just see that as, well, that's a story and that happened to them. That's not just a story that happened to them. The same power that helped them to go through is the same thing that we have to rest on and know it's going to bring us through. I'm not just going to look at the story about the man that it happened to and, you know, and what happened to him and say, oh, that's good. Ariel, I got to go in there and pick out and say, what did he do? What were they standing on? What made it possible for them? Because I know it's available for me. So if I see that they had a good outcome, then I've got to go in that word and say, I know, God, that you are no respecter of person. And that if you cause them to win in that situation, there's a win for me. There is a win for me. And so now what I have to do is I have to read their story. But then in it, I have to ask the Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to know what they did, how they did it, because I want the same results. And it's for me to have the same results. Amen. Philippians 3:13. The scripture says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is showing us that this is a journey. This is a journey. Amen. Look at what the Amplified Version says. Verse 13. It says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet. Talking about this whole concept or this whole idea of this whole owning of who I'm supposed to be in Christ. I'm not saying that I understand all of it in its fullness or I've grasped the whole vision of it. But this is what he says. He said, I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Amen. Jesus is calling us upward. Amen. So we've got to set ourselves that we're going to press to attain the thing that God have given to us. You know, I don't know how many of you all are boaters or, you know, people who go out on the water. I would advise you that if you go out on a boat with anybody, make sure they know what they're doing. All right. But most people who are like professional or pretty avid boaters, they know that you don't just, you know, one morning say, I'm going to get in the boat and just throw a boat out and just go. Avid boaters know that there is much preparation that has to take place before you get out into something that you don't know its personality. The water, sometimes its personality can be funny, can be tricky. You know, that's the same thing with planes. I didn't know that planes had attitudes. I was listening to a teaching once, and I don't know if it was Bill Winston or Kenneth Copeland. Both of those are pilots. Both of those men are pilots. And they were talking about how that when they get in the plane, the gauges that's in a plane, it tells them the attitude of the plane. But the gauges also tell them the conditions in which they're about to fly in. So as believers, if an avid boater takes the time to prepare to go on a journey, and as pilots, they make sure that everything that they need, they take the preparation to get it done. Then as believers, why don't we think that inside of our journey that we shouldn't get all of the supplies, all of the things needed for this journey? God didn't just say, look, come on, receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, and I'm just going to throw you out there, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. No, he set up moments like these. He set up moments like these. The time that you spend reading your Bible, the time that you spend praying, those are the times that help you prepare for the journey. Most times, the reason why we get lost in the journey is because we've not taken the time to get the information that we need to prepare for that next phase of our journey. Amen. Let me tell you something about faith. Earlier when I was just kind of meditating on this, I heard the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. He said, tell them that faith isn't schizophrenic. I was like, He said, faith doesn't have different personalities, but faith does have different attributes, but not personalities. We can't get that confused. Faith is not schizophrenic. Faith wouldn't have you if you say, I'm believing by faith, and I know God will take care of me, and I know that God's going to make a way, and I know that God loves me. Amen. That's good. But then you're going to have to take that same faith confession and that same belief in God, that when it looks like things are falling down around you, you have to let faith cause you to speak even in that situation. You understand what I'm saying? You can't say that I love God and God is good to me and I know that he's going to take care of me. And then when a hard time comes, you make a different choice from that faith choice. That would make faith seem schizophrenic. Yes? I love God. I believe that he's for me. I believe that I'm supposed to live a holy life. I believe that I'm supposed to live a life pleasing unto him. And then now I need a job and I become a stripper. See, faith is schizophrenic right there. That don't work. That don't work. My faith walk won't make me do that. Not if I understand this faith journey. Now, the adversary will make me think that I need to do that only so he could throw this big, huge boulder in my journey. He's going to throw this big, huge boulder in my journey. He's going to put it on my path that now, man, I've just made it hard for my faith to be able to help me in that situation. My faith not going to help me to strip. Well, I don't know. Y'all might think so. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In every area of my life, I've got to keep my faith walk intact. If I don't, I open the door. I open the door for so many things. God consistently wants to show his love and his mercy toward us, but we have to consistently keep our faith intact for the journey. Amen. Believe him for everything. Don't let anything that you do in this life not have your faith walk intact. Your faith walk being like the foundation scripture that we use in Romans 16. It's about the gospel. It's about the good news. So whenever I have to make a decision and I'm on this life journey and I've made it a faith journey, then when I make a decision, then I have to say, God, you help me to know what choice to make in this, because this is no longer just a journey for me. It's a faith journey. And my foundation is the gospel. So I have to make my decisions based on the gospel. Not on my need, not on my feelings. I have to make it based on the gospel. Anything else just throws the door open. Amen. I want to shut the door. I want to shut the door to all of the things that would not make my faith journey a successful one. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's the way we have to see it. We can't segment our faith. We can't segment our journey. We can't segment what areas God can be in and what areas I'm going to take care of myself. I've got to give it all to him. I've got to give it all to him. That's the only way that I'll see the results that the Father has for me. Amen. Now, there's a fulfillment of life's purpose in our faith journey. Let's look at Matthew 9. You know, Jesus told those boys, he said, you know, in the world, y'all going to have some problems. Y'all going to have some situations. You all are going to have some tough times. But he said, be of good cheer. He says the same thing to us. In this life, you're going to have some tough times. You're going to have some situations. But with that, let me tell you, be of good cheer. Because he told us, I have overcome the world. What do you mean, Jesus, you've overcome the world? The Amplified Bible says, I've overcome the world and its means by which it can harm you. So if he's overcome and I'm in him, then I stand as an overcomer. Amen. And my faith is a substance that helped me to win every time. Amen. 9:29, Matthew 9:29. Look at what Jesus said. He says, well, he was this man, the blind man. Jesus told him, then touched he their eyes and saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. Inside of this faith journey, there's a fulfillment of faith's purposes in our lives. And we have to know that the same way he spoke to them about their eyes, that he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. He also says that to us, that in this journey of faith, that everything is according to our faith. According to our faith, be it done unto us. But we don't want to do anything that will disturb our faith. There are certain things that come in our lives that if we follow through with them, it will cause us to not have confidence in our faith or confidence in God. Well, what would make me not have confidence in God? Well, if I know that the Bible says that, God's not honored by me lying, or God's not honored by me. I think Paul calls it giving false witness, a false accusation. And then I just proceed to just lie with a witness on the inside of me all the time saying, you shouldn't be doing that. Then the next time a challenge happens and I need to operate in faith, right away on the inside of me, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like, nope, you can't believe God for that. And why can't I believe God for that? Well, you know, you lied the other day. There are things that we do in life that will cause us to have our confidence toward God and confidence toward our faith. It comes to nullify it, to shut it down, to accuse us. When we should keep, Paul said, keep our conscience clear toward God and toward man. How do I keep my conscience clear? By doing the best that I know that I can do. Always listening to the witness on the inside of me. If I know that the Bible says a certain something to make my life good, then that's what I want to follow, because I want my confidence toward God and toward the word, and to be able to believe him. I want that to always be open. I want that to always to flow free. I don't ever want to stumble in my faith to believe God for something just because of some choice I made. Amen. I want my conscience. I want my efforts. I want my works toward God to always be clear and free to flow. Amen. We can only fulfill life's purposes and calling to the degree that we understand and we apply faith. Our faith, it determines the magnitude and the impact that we'll have in this life. Our faith will. Amen. Let's look at Romans 12 and 6. We want our faith to have the impact that God intended for it to have. Romans 12 and 6. Inside of this, it talks about the different giftings that each of us, on some level, God has placed inside of us. Look at what it says, the seven foundational gifts. It says, having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that soweth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. We don't ever want there to be anything again in our lives that will keep us from being able to function in the things of God. You know, sometimes when we at the point that we accept Christ in our lives, all we're looking for is relief. I just want relief from this life, Lord. So, you know, I've tried everything else, and, you know, and I just believe right now that I need to let God, I need to accept Jesus. I need to go to God. And we do. But don't just think that it's about your relief and it's just about you, you know, getting something off your back or getting away from something. When God comes in your life, when Jesus comes in your life, it's not about just relieving you, but it's about putting you to work. Your life is more than just about relieving you from the pains of this life. It's about getting you in a place where not only you can flourish, but that you can reach out to somebody else and help them to flourish. So he gives us these gifts so that we can help somebody else to know the love of God. Amen. So when we come in and we come to know him, this faith journey is about believing God for what he can not only do for me, but believing that he can use me to be a blessing to somebody else. After I get free, why wouldn't I want to free somebody else? After I get an understanding, why wouldn't I want to give somebody else an understanding? Help somebody else who's struggling. Help them to know there's a better way. Amen. Now, that's when life's journey has gone full circle. It's gone full circle. When I can have an experience with him, but then reach out to somebody else and tell them you can have this same experience. Amen. Let's look at life's purposes are always revealed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. God wants to reveal his purpose to us. First Corinthians 2 and 9. The scripture says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you see that? You can't even, when we just think about it, we can't even fathom the wholeness of the plan that God has for our lives. But then in verse 10, even though our natural eye haven't seen, nor our natural ear, nor have it even entered into our even heart of the things that God has prepared for us, verse 10 tells us, but he won't leave us unknowing. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. Inside of on this faith journey, you think that you may know how your life is supposed to go. You may think that you know what you want in life, but that's only a small, the best thing that you want for your life. It's only a small percentage of what God has for us. What God wants to do through us. It's on a small percentage that we understand or even grasp the goodness of God. But then when on this journey, if we allow our faith, we allow ourselves to grow in faith and live by faith, then the Spirit of God will come in and reveal to us the deep things that God has for us in this life. He will amaze us. When we're talking about amazing grace, God is an amazing God. And he has an amazing plan for our lives. And when we grasp that amazing plan, it will amaze us. We will be amazed because the Spirit of God desires to reveal to us the gift, desires to reveal to us the plan that God has for us. Do you know that life is a gift? Just life, your life by itself is a gift. I don't have any gifts. You're alive. Life is a gift. And that gift in itself wants to give. That gift in itself wants to give. Your life here is to be a gift. It's a gift to you, but then it is a gift because it should reach out and give to others. Do you know that's the only thing that makes life worth living? You find the happiest, most content people are the people that give. Giving people. And in Acts, Jesus, when he came, back after his resurrection, he talked to those guys and he told them, let me tell y'all, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And you think, what is the blessing in giving? Because you think the blessing is in receiving. You know, we get all excited when somebody giving to us. Like, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you. But you haven't experienced anything until you can say, oh, yeah, when you gave. When you start giving. Giving people are the most fulfilled people you will ever meet. And God, He's got to be plenty fulfilled because he is the biggest giver you will ever meet. And he gets great pleasure in giving. Amen. It is in our giving also in this life journey. If we want it to be full and we desire to experience the fullness of what it is to be, then we have to see life as a gift, but also know that life is a gift. It's a gift to me, but it is a gift that's to be given. I told you all Thursday night about a conversation that Adam and I had. And inside of that conversation, we also was talking about how that very scripture we always talk about, John 10:10. I think that's it. John 10:10. That the thief comes but to steal. Is that right? To kill. And to destroy. Yes? We're so busy thinking about that, you know, the thief, he's coming to steal, to kill, and destroy, that we don't think that if he's a thief and he's stealing from you, then you must have some stuff of great value. Thieves don't just steal junk. Not a real thief. And if they walk up on you and your stuff is junk, they're going to get mad. Oh, I done robbed you and I done, you know, no, it's something of value. The thief come to steal. Well, if he's coming to you and he's trying to steal something, your life must be of great value. What you have in your life must be of great value. Now, am I tapping into the value and the worth of my life? Possibly not. But today is the last day. Say that. Today is the last day. Man, I want the wealth of my life. I want the fullness of what my life is supposed to be. I'm not going to let the thief come and steal what God has given to me. Because to God is of great value. So now, Lord, you got to show me what it is so that I could walk in it. Because, you know, I kind of think that if I'm not this or I'm not that, my life is nothing. Your life is everything. There you have a real thief that's trying to steal it. I'm here for a reason. I have life for a reason, and I want to live it to the fullest. Well, Jesus said the thief came to steal. Not only do we want to steal, he want to kill, and he also wants to destroy. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. I'm just telling you what he's coming to do. But you better remember this. I've come. He said, I am. After every I am, there's power behind the I am. He said, I am come. That you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Amplified Bible says that you would have it in abundance, full, complete, and overflowing. Amen? I want this life's journey. I don't want to get mixed up. I don't want to get caught up. I don't want to get confused. I don't want to be sidetracked. I don't want to find myself just spinning around. I don't want to do that. I want to walk in the fullness. I want to walk in the purpose. I want to walk in the plan that God has. Don't you? Yeah. I want to experience the whole of what this life consists of. Amen. And I don't want to shortcut myself in any way. How about you? Life's purpose is achieved by faith. Let's look at Galatians 3:13. The scripture says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Man, he's made every provision for us. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Then verse 14 says that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Christ has redeemed us. All of the things that would come in life to throw us off the sidetrack or so to make us think that we can't win, Christ already bought and purchased the right for us to win. That's why I say he redeemed us from the curse. We know what the curse is. You know, spiritual death, poverty, sickness, and you know, where we just die without him. Amen. So we've been redeemed for that, from that. So with knowing that I've been redeemed from that, yeah, poverty, sickness, and death. Knowing that I've been redeemed from that, and knowing that God has, Jesus has made a way for me that I don't have to live in that, then I have to set a plan, a path, and also a purpose that I can walk in that. Don't make choices that would bring me back into that. I've got to make choices toward life. If this doesn't add more life to me, then I should say that's not, I don't want that. If that activity don't bring more life to me, then I don't, I'm not putting that in my life. If this will come and steal from me, then I'm not having that activity in my life. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been brought back so that I can walk in life and life more abundantly. Amen. Last scripture that we're going to look at, John 16 and 23. Our understanding of the faith process in this journey is critical to our victorious living in all areas. Amen. And it's easy to be comprehended, but we need to have a revelation. Amen. What scripture did I tell you? John 16, 23. Look at what the scripture says. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, look at what the scripture says, he will give it to you. Every aspect of victorious living has already been provided for us. Jesus resurrected. He went back to the Father. He purchased our victory. And then he told them, he said, you know, right now, y'all can't ask anything, you know, in my name, and y'all don't understand everything that's going on. He said, but verily, verily, I say unto you that the day is coming when ye shall ask the Father in my name, and guess what? He will give it to you. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that. And you don't want to have anything in your life that will cause your faith and your consciousness toward God to do what he said he will do. You don't want anything to disturb that. You don't want to invite anything in your life that will disturb that. You want the free access always to God in this faith journey, that whatsoever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, you have confidence he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. My faith journey, I have the assurance that Jesus lives in me, I live in him, and whatever I ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will do it. And my confidence toward that, having access to God and the things of God, it plays a major role. Because there are times in life you don't have time to just stand up and say, oh, let me see. No, you need to apply your faith right then. And you don't need nothing to be in a way to disturb that. Amen. Nothing in a way to disturb that. Jesus made that provision for us. This life journey, we have to live it by faith. We must live it by faith, because faith is the only thing that's going to help us to be able to win, to force the walk into victory. Amen. That's been provided for us. If you just lift your hands right now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for all of the ingredients, Father, for all of the things that we need, Father, all of the aspects that we need, Father, to walk in victory in this life. We thank you, Father, for this journey of faith. Father, we every day, Father, we look to your word, that our faith in you, our faith in your word, Father, that it will be activated more and more for this journey. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you, Father, for everything, God, that you've given to us, Father, that we can win in this life on all points. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. And Father, I pray for every person now that, Father, in their hearts, that they will grasp the faith for everyday situations, everyday circumstances, the faith for the journey. Thank you, Father, for every provision. You're empowering us, Father, to win in every way. Thank you for it, Father. Now, you can put your hands down, but keep your heads bowed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if you're here today and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, let me tell you something. You're not here by chance. It's no accident that you're here. God wanted you to be here because he wants you to know that there's a journey that he has for you and that he made every provision for you to win. Let me tell you, the first gift that he gave to you is life. And you have that now. You have life. So why don't you just give your life to him so that he can help you to live it in the way that's even good for you? Amen. You know, we see in the Bible that it took God 6 days, 6 days to finish the work on the earth. And then it took Jesus 3 days. Amen. 3 days to do the work for our new life. But guess what? It'll only take one moment today, just one moment, for you to let your life be changed, changed for the better. Amen. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to come into your heart, today is your day. This is your moment. And he's willing to come in and to do for you only what he can do. Amen.